This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's time now for Around Montgomery County. I'm your host, Tobin Ott. My guest this week for Around Montgomery County is State Representative Wayne Rosenthal. Wayne, welcome back.
Good morning, Tobin, and welcome to all your listeners.
All right, and we are here to talk about some happenings in Springfield. Lawmakers were called back for a quick extension of the veto session. And still, a lot is still up in the air. Let's start off right now. One thing that did happen is the regional superintendent of schools, they're getting paid finally after since July. And that's, depending on who you ask, that's probably a good thing to get them at least paid.
Sure. I mean, they're elected officials and they should be getting paid. And of course, we had a lot of debate over that. And, you know, of course, the governor wanted us to take it out of the personal property replacement tax. Mm-hmm. We were opposed to that. Initially agreed to it after they put the one-year sunset on it. Now, individually, it doesn't take, it's not a lot of money from any entity, but you know, it goes across all the municipalities, the townships, the counties, and it's 1% of the money that they would have gotten. But to me, it set a bad precedent to dip into that fund to start with. So, but we needed to pay the ROEs and get them paid. We had the opportunity to sunset that with 1 year, and we got enough votes to pass that. Now, of course, in our situation here in Christian and Montgomery, Tom Campbell, who was elected, chose to resign effective November 15th because he didn't want it to affect his retirement, among other things. And he'd been fighting it. And, of course, these people are like everybody else. They can't live on nothing. And I have to admire all of the ROEs that managed to continue to do the job, even though they weren't getting paid. And fortunately for us, we've got a great replacement that's going to be recommended to both county boards, Christian Montgomery, Marshall Kassebaum from Litchfield, fourth grade teacher, got all the qualifications. But to me, the other important part about Marshall is that she's been actively involved in the community, and I think that's an important attribute. And so we look forward to working with Marshall, and she's going to be she filed her petitions, and she's going to be on the ballot to continue not only serve out for the next 2 years of Tom's term, but also to serve the following two years to finish out the whole 4 year term.
And that's got to be a tough position. I agree with you with Marshall. She's a great asset to Litchfield. But the position in general, it's got to be a tough one to even say, you know what, I'll run with it, because there's a lot of uncertainty with
it. Yeah, because the way it is right now, we just go till June 30th of this coming year. And, you know, we're going to look at a lot of different options in the spring session. To me, the most important part of it, though, is that there are mandates there that are put there by the state, and we need to have some kind of plan of who's going to pick up those requirements. You know, if you eliminate the ROE, then somebody still has to do the building inspections for the fire code, the bus driver recertification, teacher certification, all those things that are mandated that ROE office does. Somebody, we have to have a plan on who's going to do that. Now, you know, right now we have 44 ROEs, and mostly in Southern Illinois, and they cover a lot of different counties. And there may be talk about reducing the number and have them cover larger areas. So, you know, that's options that we'll talk about in the spring session.
Is another option maybe getting rid of the ROE position entirely?
Well, it's possible, but somebody still has to pick up those duties. So that, you know, that's the part that needs to be debated.
And we were talking about this off air before we started recording, before we started to go on the air here. If the lawmakers decide to get rid of the ROE position, that kind of sets the table up for easier for consolidation.
Yeah, it gives them another argument for consolidating. So it's one of those things, it's a big issue across the state, and there'll be a lot of debate on that.
All right, let's continue on here. Let's talk about gambling expansion. The governor says no slot machines at racetracks, or you're not going to get his support.
Yeah.
But he's cool with the five casinos. Is it easier to add more casinos and try to get this thing through and let go of the slot machines at the racing tracks?
The whole gambling issue, you know, the gaming issue, you know, they got the 10th license online for the 10th casino, but the overall revenue has kind of stagnated on gaming itself. And you have to look at, you know, where's that additional resource is going to come from. And some of it could come from out of state as they draw them back into the state. But a good example is the horses are expecting $47 million that the governor hasn't released. And so, you know, to me, the whole gambling thing and the promises of putting its stuff in special funds, you know, they haven't followed through on that before. Any special fund they have, they've been able to do fund sweeps from. And so, you know, I just don't trust the fact that the money will be there.
What is the problem with having slot machines at racing tracks? Because you're already technically gambling when you go to, let's say, Fairmount Park or a racing track. I understand don't put them at the grandstand at the state fair because that's more of a family environment.
Sure.
But if you go to a racing track, you're already technically gambling anyway. I don't see the...
Well, I think there's a lot of different aspects of that. One of which is that most of the racetracks are fairly close to the current casinos, which would be put them in direct competition with them. Okay. And part of that, along with that, Tobin, is that the way the current casinos pay, it's a graduated tax. The more revenue they take in, the more they pay to the state. Well, if their revenue comes down because part of that's going to the slots at tracks, then overall the state ends up getting less money because they're that top percentage is from one is going to a bottom percentage at another entity. So, you know, it's not strictly black and white.
So it's a lot of activity going on up in Springfield. It's never a dull moment up there.
No, never a dull moment. And, you know, the other reason that we went back last for the one day was to talk about CME and Sears and the tax for them, you know, is similar to the or personal property replacement tax.
Right.
You know, and our argument, of course, is that if we hadn't raised the corporate taxes to start with, we wouldn't have to be giving special deals to everybody. Because what we found is that by raising the corporate tax, we got all these big companies coming wanting special tax breaks, but that doesn't affect the people that really generate and create the new jobs is the small businesses because they don't get those same breaks. And, you know, Roger Eddy said it best, is that if they hadn't voted for the corporate tax increase in January, we wouldn't be fighting these things right now. You know, and so our where we're at right now is because we don't have an agreement on this tax bill, is that they want to increase the earned income tax credit, which would cost the state an additional $100 million. And we look at it as a jobs bill because one of the things we've done is decouple, they wanted to decouple the bonus depreciation and make it retroactive. Well, what would happen there is that you would get additional revenue right now, but still that equipment and things would be able to depreciate over time. So in the out years, you'd end up with less revenue. We want to look at the estate tax, increasing that to $3.5 million from the current $2 million. The net loss provision would be capped at $100,000, which they took that net loss out. Research and development tax, we want that included and extended because all those things are things that bring back and create jobs, and that's what we want to do.
Are you hopeful an agreement with Sears and the exchanges up in Chicago can be reached?
Yes, you know, and I think they can, but right now we're in recess to the call of the chair. And what essentially that means is once the leaders can come to some kind of agreement where they know that they can get the support of enough members from either side, then we'll get called back. And hopefully, you know, I think Sears and CME would like that to happen before the first of the year. So we're just sitting here waiting to see if we get called back.
And it doesn't help the matter that you have Ohio lurking in the background, publicly making deals, trying to lure Sears away from here.
See, and that's part of the problem with raising our corporate tax, Tobin, is that it puts us at a competitive disadvantage to other states and gives them the opportunity to make those kind of offers. You know, so that's where we're at.
So a lot of happening there, and I have a feeling you probably will be called it back sooner than later before you're supposed to be scheduled back in the spring.
Sure.
So, Wayne, if I don't see you again, happy holidays to you and your family, and I look forward to our chats in the future.
Well, thank you, Tobin. We'll look forward to see you after the first of the year.
And this concludes this weekend's edition of Around Montgomery County, where my guest was State Representative Wayne Rosenthal. For Around Montgomery County, I'm Tobin Ott.